the wrong way. But when I was young, I remember people telling us, you've lost your mind. And the reason that they said that is because young people tend to say, I'm done with school, so I have 2 months off and I get to do absolutely nothing. And you're like, have you lost your mind? You know, but we're under that impression, like, I worked hard and now my time is my own. Right? Have you ever said that? I've said that. I told my parents and they were like, oh, when is school going to start again? You know, I can't wait for school to start again so the kids will be back there and I can, you know, but you have to understand something. I come from a background where I had a youth advisor who is now my friend, and he used to say cruel things to us like that. You kids are so spoiled. You don't know what you're doing. You've lost your mind, you know? And that was his way of loving us and kind of getting under the skin, because underneath we're very selfish, you know, and we're immature, and he knew that. And so he wanted to, you know, he's going to give us a lot of good things to know, but within all of that, he's also giving us the reality of things. We can't just do whatever we want in life. You know, you can't do that. You've been given a life to live. And for God, you know, that's the purpose of what he wants us to talk about today. So that's the thing that I have in mind today in these two verses, to help us to look at this coming next 2 months of summer and to have a plan to use the time that we have been given for God's purposes. Amen. Last week, Lee Chan and I were in San Francisco and we attended a wonderful celebration dinner for a Chinese organization that we have been associated with for over 40 years, and it's actually, they're celebrating 40 years. It's called the Chinese Christian Church Music Institute for Worship, CCCMIW. We went to San Francisco. Lee Chan was singing with the opera in San Francisco, and she had a fellowship young artist program that she was singing in. And so we moved out there right after getting married, like really close after we got married. So we had a lot of changes, but these people from this organization had just started, and it was coming from a seminary there that was close by in the Bay Area. If you're familiar with San Francisco, it's the Bay Area, and they had a seminary called Golden Gate Seminary. And Lee Chan and I went to 19th Baptist Church in San Francisco, and that was connected with Golden Gate Seminary. And so these people talked to one another and they said, we have some opera singers going to our church now. Maybe we can work together in some way. And so they reached out to us and we were able to sing with them and to, you know, do things with them ever since. And so it's been a real blessing. They invited us out there to share in their joy of the time that they had. And so we went there. Dr. Richard Lin was the founder, along with Reverend Dr. Richard Lin and Reverend Dr. Samuel Tang, had the vision for this, to promote church music ministry in local churches, offer special training courses in conducting vocal accompanist worship and music ministries, to enhance the singing and preaching of the word to a meaningful worship experience, to hold choral festivals, to provide church music and worship resources for churches. And they've been doing that, and they're still doing that. We could have them come to Grace Church, you know, where they come in this area and they hold workshops to help people to learn music and to glorify God. This is a great way to use your time. They had this vision, okay? This was Dr. Richard Lin and Dr. Samuel Tang got together and they said, let's do this. God has given us a vision for this kind of thing. So I'm not going to talk too much about what they do, but I do want to say that. And now I want to tell you something that I learned about Dr. Richard Lin that I hope will help us to be excited about giving our time to God. Okay, two things that I learned about him through his son who spoke at this dinner that we attended last week. Number one, his son stood up. Actually, Richard Lin has passed away. Okay, he had a long life and he passed away. And his son was there at this dinner. And Joe said, there's two things that my father said and did that I'd like to share with you. First of all, he was asked one day, what does Jesus mean to you? And he said, my father broke out in this beaming bright smile, and he said, everything. Amen? That defined my father's whole life. What do we feel about Jesus? It needs to be everything. He means everything to me, right? And that struck all of us, really spoke to us there. And then the second thing he said was, at the end of his father's life, he gradually, like all people, lose their ability to do certain things, and it came a time when his father was no longer able to drive. But the thing is, he was driving, right? He, as often the case, people, you know, do things that they're not able to do. They believe that they still can, and so his father was not able to do that, and so he had to have a talk with his father, and he said, Dad, it's time for me to do the driving for you. And do you know what his father said to him? His father said, great. It's kind of like a graduation, isn't it? I've graduated. And so that hit all of us right between the eyes as well. We started to feel like, wow, this man has such a great attitude. And he said, that defined my father as well. He always had that attitude about any kind of a challenge in life that came his way. And that came from his belief that Jesus Christ is everything. Amen? So his attitude in life became very positive, not because of positivity or some kind of a philosophy, but because of Jesus. And Jesus meant everything to him. And so he was able to see that kind of a transition that is very difficult to admit to, you know, and very prideful for many people. I'm going to drive anyway, and there's a bad result almost every time. Right? So there's two things I'd like to begin today to think about and using our lives, right? Using the time that we have been given for good things to glorify God. And that's what he did. So there's another person that I'd like to talk about, and that is St. Augustine. Now, he lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but he was a person who wrote a book about his life, and we gain a great perspective on who he was through his honesty and his willingness to share his failures, and also his faith in God and how God redeemed him by writing a book called Confessions. You might want to read that this summer, if you haven't already. It's called Confessions by St. Augustine. It's almost like reading a book by someone today. It's that alive and so real, you know? And so what did Augustine do? He writes that how he was completely wasting his time in life. How did he waste his time? He was having sex with numerous women. He had a son out of wedlock, right? He had these kind of things going on. He tells how he was drunk all the time. He was seeking out all these orgies and all these terrible things in his life. And meanwhile, he knew the truth because his mother was a Christian, a firm believer in Jesus, and was praying for his soul every day. And he ignored her, and one time he even moved away without telling his mother because he wanted to get away from Jesus. He wanted to get away from her urgent prayers for his life to be saved in Christ. And so he left the country thinking that he could get away. But God answered his mother's prayers. He answered his mother's prayers, and he had a vision that he was to open the book of Romans, and it pointed right to a verse that said, stop living in all of this terrible living and sin that you're doing. Right there in front of him. Amen? And that changed him, and it hit him right between the eyes, and he was a different person from that point on. And he lived completely using his time that he was given, his whole life, for the dedication of God's kingdom. And he brought many, many people to Christ. And his mother saw that. Can you imagine the feeling of praying for your son all those years and thinking, how terrible that my son is living this kind of a way. He needs Jesus. And then to see it come about. And he wrote about her in his book. Right? One of the things that he does in that book, this book was written in Latin, and it's proved to be one of the most beautifully written books or writings in Latin that exists. Why? Because he knew the God who had given him life and had saved his life and forgiven him of his sins, and he knew love. And in that book, one of the most famous things that he wrote was, "Late have I loved thee. Late have I loved thee." And within those few words, he was expressing anguish that he had waited so long, but also that he loved God. And that was what he was about then, right? From that point on, "Late have I loved thee. Forgive me, Lord, that I have been so disobedient and done these terrible things, but I love you." And to read about a person's transition or transformation like that is just incredibly beautiful and wonderful and powerful for us also as we consider our own lives and the things that Paul is talking about in his word today in Ephesians for us to learn from and to think about Dr. Lynn and also St. Augustine in this kind of a way, that they spent their time on useful and wonderful things for God. I'm going to ask Alfred to play a song written by someone who had much the same kind of thoughts. And we're just going to listen to this, hear how it ties in with the scripture today. You hear all the wisdom in it? It's a person who's looking at their life and looking over their life and thinking about what it's all about. And then he comes to the realization that without God, the life has no meaning. And it's also gone before we know it. That is wisdom. You know, in the world's view, that would be something that people would feel, oh, it's so hopeless. It sounds so sad, but actually it's filled with hope because God is giving the reality of what we're really here for. And he's telling us the truth, right? And we may not want to think about our death, but it says in the Bible that our life goes like a shadow, right? You remember that verse? It talks about in that kind of a way. And this man was saying that it's like a glance, just in that kind of a way. But wisdom has a way of strengthening us in life into the reality of the need for God. And then we have what we need to live our lives. Amen? And so it's good to think about the brevity of our life because it teaches us to live for each moment, to take advantage of every moment. And brothers and sisters, I have wasted a lot of time in my life. I had a friend, Scott. We used to get on the phone with each other every day. We were best buddies. And he'd say, hey, what's up? I'd say, what's up? And I'd say, what do you want to do today? And he said, I don't know. What do you want to do? And it would go back and forth like a comedy routine. Like, I don't know. What do you want to do? And then in the end, we just spent doing nothing. You know, I mean, we got together and we're good friends and we grew in friendship. So God is grace and grace is at hand in our lives. But basically, we spent a lot of time wasting it. God is good and he redeems it. He redeems it, right? So he's asking us to do that, to redeem the time. You want to know something really interesting? This whole concept of redeeming the time or making the best use of the time has another word that explains it, and that is an opportunity. There are opportunities in life that we don't want to pass by. And when we don't have a life that is centered around Christ, then we are going to do just that. Pass over opportunities that our life has been given for God's glory. And we can only see those when we put our lives into the hand of Jesus Christ and make him our Savior and say, you mean everything to me, right? There's another interesting concept that someone spoke about in this kind of terms is to say that our lives are on loan. Our lives are not our own, the Bible teaches us, right? We are created for the glory of God, and he is our creator and our maker, like we were talking about, right? But they're on loan. What are we doing with the time? It occurred to me when I heard that comment, how it is so much like taking a book out of the library, right? You loan out a book. You go to the library, and you take out a book, and what do? You're given a certain amount of time to bring it back. And during that time, you read it, and you take care of it, because other people are going to be using it, right? And isn't it so much like that in our own lives that we've been given a life and God has loaned this kind of time for us to spend in this world at this time as his children, as his creation, and we care for what God has given to us. We care for it in the way that we live, in the way that we grow in it and read it. You know, in God's word and all those kind of ways to do these things, to take care so that when we give it back, right? It's in good condition. And that's what we want to do with our lives. We want to really live a life that is going to be lived carefully, just like he says here in Ephesians, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. It's so great to be reminded of wisdom in this world. And that comes from God, and it's a gift from him, and it's handy. It's really right at hand from God. Any time that we ask him for it, he wants us to know it, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil, and so we want to make the best use of our time, not follow the evil, right? And we don't want to be overcome by evil. We want to use what God has given to us, and in his strength, live our lives in this way. Right. What are some ways that we waste time? I was thinking about this, you know, and one of the things that I think that people are wasting time on is repetition of things. Jim Gaffigan is a really funny guy, and he was talking about how somebody said, hey, you know, why don't you start streaming some TV shows? And he was like, But they said, don't be careful because it's very addictive. And he said, I'm not going to become addicted to anything. And so, you know, a week later, he says, I didn't sleep for a week because I was watching so many of these streaming TV shows, you know, and he's making a joke of it, but it's a reality. People watch things over and over again. And then he said, the funny thing is, after it was done, I went back and I watched it again. What good would come from that? I mean, literally hours and hours and hours of time, and I'm talking about myself, and I know even from my childhood watching reruns on TV, over and over again, what else could we be spending our time on instead of just watching reruns on television, right? What else could we be doing? You know, Matthew 25 talks about, is a wonderful example here that Jesus helps us with in a parable of the talents. You know the story of the talents? A talent is actually an amount of money. And so the way it goes is that there's a man going on a journey who called his servants together and he entrusted to them his property. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another he gave 1. And then he entrusted it to them and he expected them to do something with that property, right, to grow it. And so when he returned, the man who had 5 had doubled it. And the man who had 2 had doubled it. But the man who had 1 dug a hole and buried it there, saying, I was afraid of you because you have a bad reputation as being a severe master. Right? You remember that? And so what was the reaction? Oh, blessing for the man who took the 5 talents and then he produced 5 more, right? He invested that and he was wise. And then there were the man with 2 and then he doubled that. And so he said, blessed are you. And he rewarded him. But the man who had 1, he was very angry with him. And he said, at very least, you could have taken that and put it into the bank and gotten some interest for it. You're a lazy person. Right? And that really hits us hard. Do we want to be lazy in life and to be described that way? John Maxwell did a wonderful thing, but a really severe one when he's a world famous leadership training person in the business field. He's very well respected. And he launched into people that are lazy and said, don't do that. It is despicable to be a lazy person, not doing anything with your life like that and not using the time that you have. It's just like Jesus was talking about. There's always at least something that we could be doing. So we want to be mindful of that and be careful with the book that we've been loaned or the life that we've been loaned and take a good look at those things and look at our lives and examine what we're spending our time with and how we're wasting our time. We are held responsible by the master who has given us our lives. There was a man named Charles Hummel and he wrote this: the greatest danger is letting the secular things crowd out the important godly things. Our problem is that too often we live by life's demands instead of by God's priorities. Remember that life is too short for us to do everything we want to do, but it is long enough for us to do everything God wants us to do. You know what I take from that? We react when someone comes up to us and say, join us in doing this. Come on and do it, okay? And you say, okay, I'm going to go and do it. You jump into it without really examining what it is that you're getting into, right? There's all kinds of different things that come into mind like that, right? You could even apply it to a young person being invited by friends that are going to be leading them astray away from God. Just come over and join us. And because it's a crowd, you feel like, okay, I'm going to do that. And what this man, Hummel, is saying is that we're too quick to follow that way and too slow in following the important things that are of God. These days, people get a phone call from a spam person who's calling them up and saying, you need to give me your social security number right away because there's some damage being done. He was talking about evil times. Is that not evil? And yet we jump and we feel like, oh, just like elderly people, you know, they're very naive and they need help from other people to learn what kind of evil is going on in the world. But they take advantage of people like that. But they're very quick to jump because someone who they don't know and never heard from before is telling them that they have to give them their information. It's not wise, right? But there's all kinds of different things like that that come into our lives, like that just, oh, I'm going to go and do that. I'm just going to do it. And we need to stop and think, is that right? Is it right before God, before we jump in and do that? You know what happens? You get divided in families. Children are fighting with their parents. Parents are fighting with their children. You're fighting with all these different people because of the fact that there's something going on that you're saying, I'm going to accept over my parents' wisdom. And we become divided over those things. That's what he's talking about. We too quickly, right, let the urgent things of the secular world crowd out the important godly things, right? Jonathan Edwards said this. I'm going to make two resolutions as a young man. He was a young man when he said this. Jonathan Edwards was a great theologian. Resolved. He put it down in writing. Resolved. This is my first resolution as a young person. Never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it. To improve it in the most profitable way I can possibly do it. That's fitting in with this parable about the talents. I'm going to improve it every moment of time in the most profitable way that I possibly can. And that points out the importance of choosing what is pure in life. The best way that you possibly can is by following Christ, by following God's laws, by doing the things that God calls us to do. And I really like the fact that he did it this way, and I think that that is what we need to do more in our lives, and also bring our young people to do. Sit down and write down what you are resolved to do with your life. I could have used that, really, in my life. Sit down. I want you to sit down and I want you to think about what you're doing and I want you to think about what's important. And that's what he came up with based on his reading of God's word. Never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Number two, resolved to live with all my might while I do live. To give everything that I have in my life while I have breath. Two things as a young man that he wrote down, both wise. Resolved. What can you put after that for your own life? Resolved. I'm going to do this from now on, Lord. I've had enough of that other part where I've forgotten about you and I've let the other things go. I'm going to work in my life to improve things to the best of my ability with the time that you have given to me as alone. I answer to you. Resolved. I'm going to do this, Lord. You know, that's what great people of God have done. They have resolved to do that. I want to share something from my own life that I'm not very happy about, and I asked myself whether I really wanted to share this or not, but I decided I should. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." And I, brothers and sisters, have spent a lot of my time in my life looking at worthless things. And that verse is there for me. Right? I'll tell you what happened. There was a day. I wish it was a day. You know, there was a day when I came to Christ and I knew the Lord was real and I gave my life to him. And that was a great day. But there was another day that was in my earlier days when I was around 12, 13, just going into puberty. And I went into this drugstore, not a drugstore, it was a quick check, like a supermarket near our house. Went down there to pick up some milk or something like that. And I passed by the magazine stand, and I looked over, and just like a ray, you know, like a ray of light came at me and drew me into this dirty magazine that was on there with this girl who was half-dressed, and she was looking very alluringly at me, and from that moment on, I was in prison. I was in grave, grave danger. And what happens is that when you look at worthless things, it grabs you, and you have to be very, very careful in life, no matter what that is. For me, it was that magazine and that girl looking at me and that kind of thing, being attracted to that and being pulled in. And I was a slave to that kind of a thing for a long time. It caused me to lie. It caused me to cheat on God. It caused me to live a life that was unholy, meanwhile going to church with my parents. It caused me to stop being obedient at home. I'm convinced of this as I've been thinking of it this week. It was causing me to suffer in my relationship to the Holy God. And it was all because of some filthy-minded person who came up with the eye for that kind of a thing, knowing that it would sell, that destroyed my life all through those years. And I'm saying that to you today, especially to young people, but to all people, get away from it as quickly as possible. Because what it does is it takes your mind away from the things that life is supposed to be spent on, and it brings you into hell. There's so many other things, too, that draw our attention, right? That are a waste of time, worthless things, and we spend our time on that. Resolve. I'm going to have nothing to do with worthless things from now on. I'm going to improve the time that I'm alive. I'm going to improve things in this world with the things that God has to offer and live for Him. And I'm going to fight against these evil things. Live my life with all gusto, because those other things, what they do is they draw you into an area that I fell into where I was a terrible student. All kinds of possibilities, doing those kind of things and just wasting my time because I was distracted by that. Purity is not a negative thing. It is the most beautiful thing in life. And this world would have us think the opposite, right? Purity has more strength than obscenity and pornographic things would ever have, you know, and we have to face up to that. Purity. Stand on it. Teach it. Learn from the Bible about it. Give your life to Christ. Have the Holy Spirit, right? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, he goes on to talk about later. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, because I had no power over it. We think that we are going to have power over Satan and all the dirty things and the terrible things in life. We have zero power over it. But with Christ, we have overcome these things. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us and being filled with the Holy Spirit that we have any kind of a chance. But we have it, brothers and sisters. We have it. Claim it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, we've been learning. Amen. There are people that are more than willing to show us the evil way. Run from them, the Bible teaches us. And don't think that you're going to be strong enough to face it on your own. Okay, that's not wise. We want to live according to what the Bible teaches us here. Okay. So brothers and sisters, I think you get the idea of what I feel that Paul is saying here. And I'd like to ask you to take out a song that is in your bulletin. And I really like this song. We're going to listen to it again. Another song, as a response song, but I'd like to go through the words with you. Just for a brief moment, because it's really, really good, and it also helps us to be mindful of the Bible verses that are involved in this song. And it's called When It's All Been Said and Done. Do you guys all have a copy? When It's All Been Said and Done. Raise your hand if you need one. Maris needs one over here. When it's all been said and done, there's just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? And he's talking about God. When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Only God's love stands the test of time. All else passes away. Right? All else passes away. We want to, in our lives, live for the things that will stand the test of time, and that is God's love. And he rewards us with his love. It is a great reward in life. films, the cars, success that we have, everything else, right, he says, will mean nothing. Will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you'd look upon our weakness to find purest gold in miry clay. That's from the Bible as well. We're made of clay, right? We come from the earth. We are born of the dust, like the first human beings, right? But God finds purest gold in us. He makes sinners into saints. What a beautiful thing. So I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after. What a way to spend our time. For you have shown me heaven's my true home. And when it's all done, you're my life when life is gone. Right? And that's the Bible, what the Bible teaches, right? Though a man may die, yet shall he live, because he is born into Christ. Surety in your life today, forevermore, when you give your life to Jesus and follow him. That though you may die physically, yet shall you live eternally. So when it's all been said and done, there's just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth, truth of God? Did I live my life for you, Lord? Lord, I'll live my life for you. Amen? Please keep this. Keep this and make it your song. You know, it's biblical. It's got the truth of the Bible in there. And it's hard, believe me. I still struggle in my life, right? I mean, we all struggle with things until we are at home in heaven, right? We are going to struggle with things. But as life goes on and we grow in the Lord, we have that assurance that God is going to help us so that we can overcome those things that once gave us a problem. One of those things that, some of those things that held us back and caused us to sin against our Lord Jesus, right? Just remember that God always loves you. That he always loves you and he's always there for you. I failed over and over and over again, but he proved his love to me over time. He proves the test of time, his love. Amen? Right? He's the one that is dependable, never giving up on us. So if you're, you know, into something that isn't right, know that God can help you out. Just go to him and even sing this song to him or read the song to him as a prayer. But know that God has given us our lives in this way. And so I hope that this summer, everyone, will be a time where we can learn, really, when it's all been said and done in the end of August, right, that there's just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth this summer and beyond? Did I live my life for God this summer? This was the summer where I learned most of all in my life, in 2026, is found in God and to live my life for him.